from splitting the wood that will warm us at the fire. Our hands are chilled by the creek that nourishes us as we dip down our water bottles, or our backs are sore from the uneven surfaces that give us rest when we're outside. Our lack of control in nature reminds us that we, along with the creeks, the snow, the cedars, all of us are like a treasure in the controlling hands of another, the creator who sustains Lynn Canyon and also Deep Cove. I mean, so much control is felt with our hands. So I want you to think now, take a moment to think, what has passed through your fingers this weekend? What has passed through your hands? Because with our hands, we extend gifts. We can reject offers. We might wield instruments of power, work, play. We can lift up those who have fallen down, but we can also push others to the ground. We hold money and we feel superior. Maybe it's with our keyboards, we type our feelings for the world to see online, or we guide pens to write letters of love or hate. Maybe with our hands, we hold before our eyes stimulating and flashy boxes of endless information, useful or not. The hands is so tangible of an image that we see the prophet Moses speak of the mightiness of God by singing this: "Your right hand, O Lord, is glorious in power. Your right hand, O Lord, shatters the enemy." But we're talking not about Moses, we're talking about David. But socked in between the two story, or the story that Nick shared with us last week, are two wilderness accounts of David. David's time in the wilderness gave him perspective on his level of control in chapter 24 and 26 of 1 Samuel. It was a fear of lack of control that brought David to the wilderness and was keeping him there through Saul. But somehow in the cool shadows of the cave, or perhaps looking up to the sky and seeing a hawk float above, David's hands record in the Psalms his inward perspective shift. David writes this in Psalm 57, verse 1, reflecting on his time in the wilderness. He says, "In the shadow of your wings, I will take refuge." Time in the wilderness led David to pray forth the truth that control was not in Saul, his enemy, and it was also not in himself, but it was in the hand of the Lord. Refuge is what David needed to learn, not more control. And I wonder if his going to the wilderness played a part in that. Because it's precisely in the wilderness that David comes face to face again with his source of fear and has opportunity for his hands on two similar occasions to regain physical control. Some of you may know the story, but crouching in a cave in one and laying under the stars, David's armored hands have access to the source of his frustration, to King Saul. David is so close that his palms grasp the fibers of Saul's cloak and run along the smooth grain of Saul's wooden spear. David has opportunity to resolve his discomfort of fear with his own hands and his own will in the control of his own time. And I wonder if you can think of a time that maybe you've been in that dilemma. When the cloak of your enemy passed through your fingers' grasp. When a long plaguing annoyance of a colleague was just one rash statement away from being dealt with. When that persistent frustration from your housemate or spouse was one passive aggressive comment away from being destroyed. Maybe you took action, saying that word, taking control over the source of your frustration, and maybe afterwards, like David holding a piece of Saul's royal robe that he cut off in the cave, maybe you said this, as David said, "The Lord forbid that I should do this thing, to put out my hand against him, seeing he is the Lord's anointed. David touched control, but then offered it back to the Lord. Somehow, while fleeing in the caves outside, David realizes that it is not his position to take the kingdom away from Saul. Despite Saul being the source of his fear and his frustration, but he knew he still needed to address it. Henry Nouwen says that since brokenness is as much a part of our experience as chosenness and blessedness, we must face our brokenness and befriend it. Come face to face with it, and thus start a dialogue with our frustrations. Now, I don't know if this is just me, but I know it's harder for words to be cheap when you're actually eye to eye with someone, breathing the same air as the one who causes you pain and annoyance. Becoming familiar with our pain invites us, says Nouwen, to put it under blessing, instead of it dominating us into perpetual flight with its deceptive whispers. We haven't heard Saul and David talk to each other since shortly after the Goliath episode, but in these two wilderness encounters, we hear the longest recorded conversations between King Saul and David. David's inward shift that we see in the Psalms, he speaks outwardly to Saul. Pay attention with me, or look with me, I should say, to 1 Samuel 26, verse 24. It says this: "Behold, as your life was precious this day in my sight, Saul, so may my life be precious in the sight of the Lord. And may he deliver me out of all tribulation." David calls Saul, his enemy, precious, valued. The Hebrew is made great. When David came face to face with the source of his fear, his pain, his frustration, and anxiety, he realized that his desire was not to kill Saul with his hands. David's desire was for himself to feel secure in the hands of the Lord. David needed refuge and not more control. And so he says, "So may my life be precious, great, and worthy in the sight of the Lord. And may he deliver me out of all tribulation." And so today, even in this brief sermon, I ask you, are you afraid of your fears themselves? Or are you afraid because in the midst of your fears, you're not sure if God still sees you as precious in his eyes? Are you afraid of fear for fear's sake, or are you afraid because in the midst of your fears, you're not sure if God still sees you as valuable to him, as worthy of taking refuge? I think COVID has extended to us an extended opportunity of wilderness reflection, longer than a week away camping. Maybe we didn't choose it to be for our vacation, but I think it serves as a reminder that our preciousness, our value, has been shown in our great deliverance from our greatest tribulation. God has himself started a dialogue face to face with our greatest fear, the enemy we cannot control and we are reminded of in this time: death itself. Jesus was raised up on a hill when he was crucified to show all of creation that a dialogue has been started. And through his glorious resurrection, that death no longer can speak unchallenged, deceptive whispers. The shadow of God's wings are the scarred hands of our Savior. a savior who too was led into the wilderness to come face to face with his enemy and ours. The savior who in the wilderness found his life precious in the hands of God and not in his own control. And so maybe today, amidst the current restrictions and frustrations or your own experience of being out in the wild, not being able to be in the arms of loved ones, I hope that another opportunity has come for you to find refuge in the shadows of our Savior's wings, to say alongside our crucified Lord from the cross, "Into your hands I commit my spirits, spirit." And I'm reminded as we close from Annie Dillard, as she reflects on prayer, maybe instead of folding our hands and bowing our head and closing our eyes, we should spread out our hands, lift up our heads, open our eyes, and we pray together. So let me pray for us. Jesus, I ask and I pray that you would fill us by your Spirit with joy. You'd fill us with comfort. We commit ourselves to you and to your hands. Amen.